Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Our best guess right now is it's some kind of virus which is causing this neurological disorder. Now, when a typical virus attaches itself to its host, it duplicates, it spreads, essentially hijacking the host. A virus is alive. It has an intelligence. That's not unusual. What is so unusual here? This virus, the infected hosts seem to be communicating. It has some sort of a hive intelligence, and it's connecting all the hosts. The good news is the virus can be cured. We're going to continue to run tests, and we're going to see what we find.
What happens when he can't remember anything? When there's nothing else there? What happens when my boy is gone?
Hello, ladies and germs, boys and girls, welcome back to your favorite Stranger Things podcast hosted by me, the only Stranger Things podcast hosted by me out there, and the official Stranger Things podcast of fansonexpress.com. We're back, we as in me, for another episode. This is episode number 14 of Stranger Danger, covering Chapter 6 of Season 2 of Stranger Things, The Spy. It picks up right where the last episode left off. Will's freaking out since he was, you know, there was the burning of the roots of the caves. The soldiers came in and burned him, and Will, you know, freaked out. they've taken him into the Hawkins lab, and they're running tests on him. And Hopper, meanwhile, is getting hosed down because he was in the caves and he breathed in all that crap and he was surrounded by it. And Will is just, you know, freaking out, yelling, "It's burning, it's burning. Where does it burn? Everywhere." And then finally they sedate him. Meanwhile, we cut over and Steve and Dustin are driving. You know, we last left off with them. Dustin kind of roped Steve into his needs. He's filling in Steve on everything that has to do with Dart. And it's awesome because they're driving and they're listening to Queen, "Hammer to Fall." Awesome song. And they go back to Dustin's basically to confront and probably kill Dart. They open up the storm cellar. Steve goes down with the bat, but all he finds is his skin. And he brings down Dustin and there's just a hole and a long tunnel. Dart is out there. He's escaped and he's out in the wild. "Dustin, this is all your fault, buddy." Back over at the buyer's house, this time suits get into the house. They open up the door and it's just a bunch of suits from the lab. They're taking pictures of everything. They're going through everything in the house. Back at the lab, Joyce is talking to a bunch of doctors trying to figure out what the hell is going on.
"That thing, it did something to him."
"Okay, and these now memories, as you call them, how long has he been experiencing them?"
"I told you, since Thursday, since I found him in the field."
"And why wasn't he brought in?"
"I have been bringing him in. And what have you done? Nothing. Nothing."
"These are new symptoms, Joyce."
"No, no. He has been telling you over and over that something's wrong. And you said it was all in his head. You said, be patient. Those were your words."
"I understand that you are upset, okay? I get it. And I would be, too, if I were in your shoes. But we are all in the same boat here. And I just need you to try."
"Wait, stay calm. Trust you. Now, I want him transferred to a real hospital."
"Well, you know that's not possible."
"You really will get the best treatment here, Mrs. Byers."
"The very best."
And what are you treating him for, exactly? Can anyone tell me what's wrong with him? Can a single person in this room tell me what is wrong with my boy? What is wrong with my boy?"
You can see she's pissed off because Will is experiencing some sort of health crisis. At the same time, she can't take them to him to a real doctor, and these guys have no idea really what's going on. They're still trying to figure it out. And you know, Joyce has another son, Jonathan. We cut over to Murray's house. And he and Nancy and Jonathan are making copies of the Owens recording. They're putting them in envelopes, and they're basically labeling them, sending them off to all the, you know, major newspapers around the country. They celebrate with some vodka, and Murray kind of talks to them and has an interesting conversation with them. He talks them into staying the night because it's been a long night, long drive. But he's confused. He thought they were actually together as a boyfriend and girlfriend. And, you know, they're denying it, and he basically calls them on it. He doesn't buy it. He talks to Jonathan, saying, you know, about daddy issues, and Nancy about the boy that she likes but doesn't love. He kind of figures them out, and he says they're adorable. Says, you know, "You could take the bed, you can take the couch, but, you know, let's not stop trying to, you know, fake it. Just both take the bed." But, you know, there's the whole will they won't they moment. I mean, it's like 5 minutes of them in the bed, them not being able to sleep, them going to talk to each other, them leaving, again, not being able to sleep, come back, and finally they get at it and they get it on. And Murray was right. "And sorry, Steve, you are awesome, but you deserve better than Nancy. You didn't do anything to deserve this." Over at Lucas's house again, he actually catches his sister with his He-Man toy, and that's when he finds out. That's when he finally finds out that Dustin has been calling with a code red. He calls into Dustin, and he and Steve are kind of there. They have all this chuck meat that they're put in a bucket, and they start creating a path. They're trying to lure Dart, and they call Dustin to meet them. And I love in movies like, or shows and stories like this, when groups of characters that have been apart finally start getting together for the greater good. And this is the beginning of that for some of our core characters. Back at the lab, Hopper gets a clean bill of health. Even though he's been puking, they give him the green light. And Owens gives him a hazmat suit, and he's like, what the hell is this for? He goes, I want to show you something.
All living organisms develop defense mechanisms against attack. They adapt. They find some way to survive.
Oh my God.
It's pretty impressive, isn't it? It's been spreading. Growing beneath us like some cancer.
Why aren't you burning it?
There's a complication.
This is the first time we get a really good look at whatever the hell it is. I mean, I feel like this is the real gate. Like, this is the heart of everything. In the finale, we've all watched the whole season. In the finale, you kind of see the shadow monster behind this. So this might be the actual gateway, or it's the heart. It's something. It's just a major part of this spreading monster. Why can't they just burn it? Why can't they just blow it up? Maybe blow it up. That might be something interesting. But there's a complication. Of course, the complication is that it appears to be connected to Will. Will is the complication. Upstairs in the lab, speaking of Will, Will is still asleep while Joyce and Bob are having the talk, basically kind of explaining everything that's been going on.
They made me sign like 1,000 documents. I mean, we all had to. We had to. I mean, I lost track at a certain point. I mean, they're going to make you do the same, I'm sure.
Yeah, whatever. Kind of documents?
Confidentiality. There were official forms saying like nothing ever happened, which is why
Will got lost in the woods.
Yeah.
Man, I always thought stuff like this happened in movies and comic books. Well, certainly not in Hawkins, and certainly not someone like you.
Or you?
Yeah. Bob Newby, superhero.
Ah, Bob. Bob, 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 you are a superhero, buddy. You're our hero. Actually, right after that conversation, Will wakes up. And thing is that he doesn't recognize Bob. He's like, who are you? Jump back over to Murray's place, and Murray's making Nancy and Jonathan breakfast. And there's just this awkward silence. And he's like, hey, how was the couch last night? And Jonathan almost spits up his food. He knows they spent the night together, and he's just had a fun little conversation with them. Nancy calls home and basically says she had a good time at her friend's house. Jonathan can't reach the house, but he just figures. He heard that Mike is sleeping over Will's house, so he just figured they're out. Murray gives them the rest of the vodka, sends them on their way rather harshly. You know, he says, watch the papers. And if you need to reach me again, don't. And slams the door right in their face. Meanwhile, our love-struck buddy Lucas shows up at Max's, rings the doorbell. Luckily, Billy is there lifting, smoking, and listening to Rat. I did one of those things growing up. I didn't lift weights. I didn't smoke. But yeah, I listened to plenty of Rat. But because he's doing that, luckily he doesn't answer the door. Max opens the door, sees Lucas, and freaks because she's afraid of what Billy's going to do. Billy does get suspicious, but Max kind of comes around, says it's Mormons. He checks, no one's there. And she goes right to her room where Lucas is waiting on his bike. Max jumps on the bike and, you know, says, I have proof. I have proof. You need to come with me. It's an emergency. And they get the hell out of there. Back over at the lab, Will is awake and Dr. Owens is checking on him. asking him questions, asking who he remembers.
Do you know your name?
Will.
Your full name?
William Byers.
Do you know who I am?
Doctor.
Have we met before?
I don't remember.
You don't remember me? Okay.
How about this guy here? Know who that is? It's all right. Take your time.
That's my friend. Mike.
What about me, kid? You remember me? They tell me you helped save me last night. You remember that?
Do you remember anything about last night? About what happened?
I remember they hurt me.
You mean the doctors?
No. The soldiers.
The soldiers hurt you?
They shouldn't have done that. It upset him.
Hey, that was a little freaky. It's almost like this monster is kind of talking through Will, which is spooky. But that's when Owens had this idea he wanted to try something, and he brought in a piece of the vine, of the root, of whatever it is, the tunnels. This doctor bring a blowtorch towards it, and the closer he gets, Will really freaks out, reacts badly. He's like, it burns everywhere, and they're bringing it in closer. Finally, Hopper just yells at the doctor to stop it. And that's when we get the audio from the opening of the show where Owens thinks it's a virus. But the unusual thing is that there's some sort of connection. There's like a hive mentality where they all react together. And Joyce is just worried about her son. Meanwhile, out in the wild, Steve and Dustin are talking. They're walking on train tracks, and they're just kind of, you know, dropping the meat as part of their route. They're like breadcrumbs for monsters. They're trying to lure Dart. And it's actually a fun little conversation because Steve is giving him girl tips. They're talking about electricity, and Dustin starts talking about, oh, you mean electromagnetic, you know, magnetic field? Steve's like, no, sexual electricity. And he's giving him the secret behind the perfect hair, which is, was it Fabergé conditioner and shampoo? And then while the hair's damp, not dry, not wet, but damp, use 4 pumps of the Farrah Fawcett spray. And as they're walking along the train tracks, an ode to Stand By Me, I'm sure. You see they walk by one of the yellow flags that Hopper or his deputies marked to tell that they're walking kind of right near the area where the roots had spread. There's a great little moment. Eleven's not in this episode at all, but there's a great little moment where Hopper checks in at the cabin. He tries Morse code. He tries talking to her, but really what he said is pretty sweet. You know, he said, I'm not mad. I'm just sorry. He wants her to eat something other than Eggos. And he said he'll be back soon. But really what he doesn't realize, and this was good for him anyway, just to get these feelings out. And you could just see, I don't know if he was touching the blue bracelet from his daughter, but you could just feel the pain in his eyes. The sorrow, the regret that he was too mean to her. The sad thing is his cabin's empty. He's talking to nobody. Back inside the lab, the doctors are alone now with Owens, and they're kind of going over brain scans of Will, showing, you know, abnormal activity. It's like, this is him. This is normal. This was Will, you know, 3 hours ago. This is Will now. And it's like this giant, like just massive showing of electrical something going on in the brain. And you know, the doctor's like, we need to continue the burn. And Owen's like, that's just a Band-Aid. He's like, we have to do it. And he's like, and what about the boy? What if the boy dies? Oh, if Will dies, he dies. And Owens is like, say that to me again. And that's he goes off to think. And that's the moment where you realize that Owens is not Dr. Brenner. Owens is better. Owens is essentially a good guy. And meanwhile, in Will's room, Joyce is just getting antsy. She wants answers. She wants something. So she walks up to these two military police. They're blocking the door. Tries to get through to them. She can't. And Will's just watching them. And you can see him kind of having these nervous visions. He's looking at the gun. He's looking at the police. He sees them. And he finally says to Mike, you know, Mike notices that Will's kind of acting weird. And he's like, the shadow monster. I think I know how to stop him. Now, we know what happens in this episode. It seems to me that the shadow monster saw the guns, realized the threat, and realized he needed to do something about it. And so he used his spy to do something about it. We'll get there. So there are some quick scenes with different characters. We see Steve and Dustin. They end up at the junkyard that Lucas and Mike had a fight in last year. And Steve is like, this is perfect. This is really perfect. And you can see the look in Dustin's eyes that he loves getting Steve's approval. While they're there setting up meat and everything, Lucas and Max show up. And, Lucas and Dustin kind of catch up with each other. While Steve and Max seem to be walking around doing everything, Lucas and Dustin are kind of catching up with the fact that Lucas brought Max into the fold and told her everything, and B, Dustin had Dart the whole time and was keeping him secret. So that is known, but these four people are now together. See, as I said, I love when people start getting together in these groups. But it's funny, Steve's like, what the hell are you guys doing? You're talking, and me and some random girl are doing all the work. We cut over to Jonathan and Nancy. They finally get home. They walk into the house, and they see the vine drawings, the map everywhere. And they hadn't seen this yet, so they are freaking out. You know, last year it was the light bulbs. This year it's this giant map of underground Hawkins. Jonathan finds the monster drawing, and he also finds a tin of Polaroid film. And he's like, I don't use Polaroid film. So he knows something's up. He knows someone else has been there taking pictures. Where are those pictures? They're over at the lab. So these weren't taken in secret. These guys didn't break in. These photos were taken so that the entire map could be recreated with those Polaroid photos. They're on this giant table. And Will's going over them and looking. And, you know, some of the docs are getting antsy. But Owen's like, you know, let him do this. Give him some time. And he finally points to an area that he thinks is important and thinks the shadow monster doesn't want them to see that area. We cut back, and there's Steve, Max, Lucas, and Dustin. And they're kind of setting up for battle for Dart. They're setting up obstacles. They're putting gas all over the meat. And they go hide in that bus, which is the same bus that that their boys hid in last year. While this is happening, the lab soldiers go inside the tunnels and follow Will's maps, Will's directions. But we cut back to, so it's kind of going back and forth quickly, going to little things to each section. Back at the junkyard, Lucas is on top of the bus with a lookout. Max gives a question to Steve, you know, asking if it was a bear. Dustin gets pissed off at her. So she's like, whatever. She goes upstairs and goes and hangs out with Lucas instead. They have a nice little talk where Max just kind of opens up to him, talking about her parents' divorce, talking about how Billy's mean to her, takes it out on her. You could see they bonded nicely, and then all of a sudden you hear the roar of Dart. So Dart is nearby, but he's not quite taking the bait. And Steve, who apparently is crazy and awesome as far as Dustin is concerned, he decides that he's going to be the bait, goes outside with the baseball bat, starts creepily walking But the thing is, Dart's not alone.
Steve! Watch out!
A little busy here!
3 o'clock! 3 o'clock!
Steve! Steve! Aboard! Aboard!
I mean, these things, I think there are at least three of them, they're like on top of the bus, ready to break in, and then something distracts them, and they all just run off, leaving everybody back at the bus by themselves.
What happened?
I don't know.
Steve scared him off?
No. No way. They're going somewhere.
I wonder where they're going. Back at the caves of the Upside Down underneath the lab, the soldiers are following Will's directions. Based on his feelings. They're kind of following the map. One of the guys says, "Stay frosty," which I'm almost positive is from Aliens, which, of course, Paul Reiser was in. Hopper, looking on, recognizes where they are. It's the graveyard area where he was at. They find nothing, and one of the techs behind the desk is like, this is all, your kid screwed it, or whatever, he blew it. Shit the bed, I think is what he said, something like that. But then fog starts rolling in, and...
We got some kind of fog moving in now.
I'm sorry.
What? What do you mean, sweetie?
He made me do it.
Who? Who made you do what?
I told you. They upset him. They shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have upset him.
The spy! The spy! We've got movement.
We've got company, fellas. Whoa, 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 whoa!
I need to get through with the trap!
Hey.
The trap! I need to warn them to get the trap!
I can't see shit!
You should go now. They're almost here.
Oh, what an awesome ending to this episode. Little cliffhanger. So, you know, Mike talked Will into the fact that he could be a spy for them against the Shadow Monster. Shadow Monster was probably listening because he said, you know what? I'll do one better. I'll make Will a spy for me. And he won't even know he's doing it. Or I guess he did know he was doing it. Basically, because at some point he fought through enough to at least apologize. So this whole thing where Will says, I know how to defeat the Shadow Monster. And he gets them to take the pictures. And he points to where he wants them to go. That was all the Shadow Monster luring them, right to that spot. That's why Will apologized. He made me do it. So awesome. And if you know it's going to happen, watch Mike. Watch the look in Mike's face when that happens. He realizes it first, and it's awesome. And then the last thing we see are the Demo... We don't call them Demodogs yet, so I'm still calling them little Demogorgons, reaching one claw up to drag himself out of the hole and pretty much wreak havoc. So that's it, man. That's the end of the episode. What did we learn? Well, we learned that Eleven is doing something else because she wasn't in this episode at all. We learned that Will remembers Mike, but Mike didn't do a ton in this episode, except he did realize at the last moment what was going on. Will has a strong connection to the Shadow Monster. Oh, excuse me. Anytime you try to burn the upside down, the underground, whatever you want to call it, I'm bad at this stuff. Will physically reacts. And Dr. Owens does not want to put Will through this, but some of the doctors don't care. They just want to burn it down. Hopper is, you know, still with Joyce, who's really worried about Will, but he's checking in on Eleven. He has no idea she's gone. And then we got our buddies Lucas and Dustin. They're finally back together. Both their secrets are you know, now known for each other. Secrets being that, you know, Max knows everything and, you know, Dustin had Dart the whole time. But it turns out Dart is not the only Demogorgon monster because not one but three showed up when they set the trap, for one. And it probably was going to get them and kill them all if they weren't turned away at the last second by the Shadow Monster calling them back to the lab. Steve and Dustin are great together. Steve is a cool kind of older brother type, and he does not deserve what Nancy did to him, because Nancy is pretty much with Jonathan now. They sent out all those tapes. That's the plan, to let the press know. Mario let them stay the night, and Chicka Wow Wow happened. And I'm pretty sure they're together in real life. Me, I would choose Steve Harrington all the way. Oh, of course. And that's it. That's all I can really think of for this episode. A lot of action, some scary moments. And next week is the whole thing is the 11 episode. So probably my least favorite episode of the series. But that's not saying a lot, because it's not like I don't want to say I hate it. I didn't love it. It'll be interesting to watch it a second time to see if I have any other feelings about it. Basically, last time this left with such a cliffhanger that I did not want to spend time elsewhere. But you got to do it. You know, it's all part of the story. So I'm looking forward to do that next week. But until then, thank you very much for listening. My name is Mike, and this podcast is Stranger Danger, part of Geek Mentality. And part of fansnotexperts.com. You can find me on Twitter at Geek Mentality. And if you search the hashtag Stranger Danger Podcast, you will always find every episode on Twitter. And of course, on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/fansnotexperts. Thank you for listening. Seems like a shorter episode tonight, but that's okay. I got everything I wanted to say out there. Even the episode when I watched it seemed to go by faster, which is good. It means that I was really into it, and I was really into this one. Great episode. Looking forward to seeing you again next Friday. We only have a few Fridays left, and this little mini-series is done. until season 3, which is not going to be for a while. So I hope you've enjoyed. If you've enjoyed this, go sign up for my main podcast, Geek Mentality. I just put up a Last Jedi episode. It was an instant reaction from when I saw it last night. It's, you know, it's a lot of me babbling and gibberish, but I don't have notes, so I just kind of speak off the top of the head. Off the top of the head, that's not even a saying. Other than that, you know, I'll do podcasts sporadically here and there, but come every June, you'll see 30 podcasts in 30 days. That is the Fans Not Experts Geek Mentality Guarantee. But that's not what this is about. This is about Stranger Things. Thank you for listening. Thank you for enjoying episode 6 of season 2, The Spy. And until next week, beware the Shadow Monster.
Fans Not Experts.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.